Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Peter, Peter, where are you? Come on, let's be having you. Hello, Peter. We're back in the Glad.
Feels like ages since I've been here.
Oh, it does, doesn't it? Fantastic. And we are, of course, referring to our trip to Norwich we just had. A goalless draw. Pretty disappointing overall.
Which also felt like ages, that game.
It did, yeah. Yes, 90 minutes had never felt so long. No, I mean, it wasn't that bad. No. I mean, I think it was an even game overall.
Yeah, I don't think there's any sort of argument, no.
Either team can claim they should have won it.
Neither team can claim they deserve to win it, really, though. Yeah, it's kind of...
Although Chris Sutton thinks that we got away with it. Apparently.
I mean, I wouldn't have listened to what Chris Sutton had to say, though. So,
I just wanted to wind you up. Just throwing any names at random. Chris Sutton, Tim Sherwood.
Do you mean Chris Sutton, the former Norwich player?
Yes, exactly. Funnily enough, yes, he did play for Norwich, isn't he? And he's from there as well. But apart from that, I'm sure he's
completely
impartial. Yeah.
And I'm sure you can say it when you got away with it when their player can't kick the ball hard enough to get to the goal. I mean, that's not really getting away with it. That's more they should have signed a better striker, frankly.
This, by turns, was one of the most anxiety-inducing but also brilliantly hilarious moments of the whole weekend. A certain goal conceded by a combination of Dunk maybe committing himself too long into trying to clear it and distracting Robert Sanchez. Robert Sanchez then still making a mess even from what he was given to clear it properly, presenting Josh Sargent with the chance to put the ball in the net just before half-time. A certain goal. And yet, if Duffy hadn't have cleared it at his own leisure, I'm not even sure that was going in.
Yes, yeah. I mean, the irony is Duffy desperately dived in and hoofed it for a corner. He didn't need to do that. He could have stopped it, had a cup of tea and like had a chill out and then hit the ball clear, to be honest. I mean,
lit a cigar, made a tea for his whole family.
I would have frankly been quite pissed off if we conceded from the corner, because there was absolutely no need for that to be a corner.
No,
the ball was going at about 0.0001 mile an hour.
And I thought we were going to concede from the corner because, A, what you've just said, the needlessness of it, and also the fact that there was a lot of mocking of Josh Sargent going on.
Which probably meant he was going to score.
I was getting rather worried.
The question is he now Josh Officer instead rather than Josh Sargent after that miss?
Josh Private. Yeah, a terrible, terrible execution.
That's almost as bad as our puns.
Exactly. And as we eloquently put it, the Albion fans, that's why you're going down. That's why you're going down. I think they probably will, to be honest. But anyway, well, that's a bit of a digression.
There's a bit of a gap now between the bottom three and Leeds.
Yeah, chasm is developing, isn't it? And with that chance, though, the Josh Sargent chance, it's weird because from our view in the away end, which is the same side as the TV camera, but further along towards the side, it looked like he had acres and acres of space to slow down, as you said, to trap the ball, have a look around, see if he can find a teammate. And yet on TV, it actually looked a bit more urgent, didn't it, strangely? Which shows how, I think, misleading TV cameras can be.
Yeah.
I also think that...
It was well before goal that Duffy cleared it, and he was...
Yeah.
And he's not exactly the quickest.
Yeah. Highlights of the Arsenal game, also misleading match of the day. I'm looking at you. Anyway, coming back to this game. It was a 0-0. Either team could have snatched it. We had a controversial penalty incident. We had Trossard hitting the bar with what looked like a direct shot on goal. It turned out to be saved onto the bar, which I didn't realise at the time.
No, I didn't either.
We had one of those views where you couldn't really see for sure.
And Mope missing a pretty decent chance later on as well.
Right near the end. And Lallana had a decent effort, which for once he not only kept it down, he actually kicked it into the ground.
Krall made the better saves, I'd say. Kind of,
yeah, I think so.
Out of the two keepers. So. For all Norwich had more shots.
And Danny Byrne saved us a couple of times.
Problem for Norwich is they had this great idea for an attacker and go round the back and get in behind our defence, which is in principle a pretty good idea, because without Webster our defence does lack pace. What they forgot is their attack also lacks pace, so our players had chance to get back and kind of make the tackle as well.
Because Pookie
and also
looks
lacked
good.
A first touch as well.
Pookie looks good, and I do like him. I think he's a good player, but he isn't really that pacey, is he? When it's all said
a combination. Well, if Pookie was pacey given his start of Premier League, he'd have got a big move to a decent, at least mid-table West Ham sort of team by now. But he's not. If they had a decent first touch or a bit of pace between them, they'd have got in behind two or three times, which does leave you a bit worried about what happened Saturday and the week after as well, because Man City's attack and Liverpool's attack have a decent first touch and also have a bit of pace between them as well. Mohamed Salah would have probably scored a hat-trick against us on Saturday, frankly.
Well, quite. It doesn't matter, really. Just stand 10 people behind the ball and watch him go round the ball. That seems to be par for the course with Mohamed Salah at the moment. He's looking more and more Messi-esque by the day, isn't he? He is, I would say...
Messian,
yes. I would concur with the assertions by some, including but not exclusively Liverpool fans, that he is currently the best player in the world at this moment in time.
Yeah, I think that's not
He is in some other zone, isn't he, at the moment?
Anyway. Certainly in terms of in position anyway.
Yeah.
And then some pretty useful defenders around, and that's players like Van Dijk and that sort of thing, who are pretty good, but certainly in his position.
Yeah, maybe not to our benefit in 2 weeks' time when we're playing, but certainly this weekend when he was...
But maybe to our benefit when we get him in a free transfer in a couple of years' time. Actually, Liverpool contract's not been renewed yet.
Yeah, we could tap him up, couldn't we?
When we're Champions League winners and all that.
Yeah, we can promise you Champions League. We're going to take Liverpool's place next season in the Champions League.
Top four now.
Yeah, top four.
We definitely will be in those few weeks, absolutely. Yeah,
absolutely.
No lie.
But no, I mean, he helped keep further distance between us and Watford, amongst others. But all said and done, it's a point, isn't it?
To be honest, given the injuries we've got at the moment and given what's happened with other issues around the club as well, I'm still very much of a mind that, teams at the bottom, Watford lost, Newcastle lost, Burnley lost. Well, City, but to be fair.
Only 2-0.
Yeah.
Not 5-0.
No, which
what's
is impressive.
What's going on, Man City?
And Norwich obviously drew. So
and Leeds.
Yeah, I don't regard Leeds as going, don't like to go down, but they still...
Don't you?
They still...
They're struggling at the moment.
Yeah, they'll find a way.
But they've got injury problems.
Yeah.
Which the pundits are happy to mention.
But they never mention ours,
injuries. They'll mention loads of other teams' injuries. They never mention ours. Tarek Lamptey is still not match fit. We'll talk about that a bit more later on in this episode. Bissouma wasn't match fit. And actually, I think in the end, that's probably a large part of why he was on the bench rather than the other stuff we might be talking about later on. We've got Webster out. We've got Welbeck out, who's just celebrated his first year anniversary with us. He was tweeting about that, by the way. And happy anniversary to you, Danny.
Yeah, happy anniversary, Danny. We do miss you a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
I think his movement and his quality... I have frustrations at times with Graham Potter. I'm not going to hide the fact that at times last year, thought maybe that we needed to look somewhere else, possibly. Mm. We didn't sign a striker, we needed to look somewhere else. Obviously, he's doing an amazing job now. Great. But the one player that I feel that we have find space and is creative, hardly gets any time, and that's McAllister, who I know you're a fan of as well.
Oh, big time. Yeah.
And he doesn't seem to get the time on the pitch. Mm. So he got one goal in the last three games, and that was like a late goal against Palace. Why not give McAllister a start the weekend? Why not give him a go? Given the options we've got up front.
What, this weekend
this weekend coming. Yeah. I mean, I would have started him at Norwich anyway. I've got a feeling, and it's been said loads before, but Pascal Grosch is not really offering anything in open play, and I don't feel that his set pieces have been good enough so far recently that you justify him getting with the stats that he has. So I would replace him with McAllister at the weekend, personally. That would be my choice. And then, ideally bring Webster back in defence if we can, if he's fit. If he's not, then fair enough. Or Lamptey, because we need some pace, because City obviously have pace to burn. And having Burn, Dunk and Duffy against them with Veltman at right wing back is going to be worrying, frankly.
Yeah, because I mean, the thing with the setup of the weekend was that we set it up. We had Duffy, Duncan, Byrne at centre back. We had Veltman on the right wing, and then we had Kukurea on the left, and Modder, Lallana, and Grosch as the central midfielders.
Yeah.
And And then obviously Trossard with Morbey up front. And my issue with that is, I think when we're going forwards, Cucurella is adventurous. He's getting quite far forward. Veltman can do as well.
I don't think you can call Cucurella a left wing back. I mean, he basically wanders into the centre of foot. And he's quite often, I mean, he's been brilliant since he's signed, but if he wanted to be a left wing back, he needs to get back more than he does, frankly. Yeah.
And that's why we were able to give Norwich the opportunities to possibly sting us and cause us some unexpected problems in a game where I felt we should have won. Both before, during and after that match, I felt we should have won it based on what the opportunities were to take. They were there for the taking. They were a team that we should have beaten. But I felt that we still had a soft underbelly in this game. For all the clean sheets we've had, I think it's like 15 in 35 or something, which is 14 in 35, which is pretty bloody good in the Premier League. When all said and done, we gave them opportunities in this match. We looked slow in defence, tracking back.
Yeah.
Cucurella, you've alluded to that already. Veltman, he got a soft booking. I mean, it was a booking, but I mean, it's soft in terms of...
Yeah, he didn't need to do it, it's like...
and other players as well in defence also got bookings. And we looked like we could have been got at by Norwich.
That's a better concerning. Team would have won that, yeah. I mean, I think we were chatting earlier, it's like, I think Norwich... They had a great plan, and it would have worked really well if they had any pace up front, or a first touch in Sargent's case, the second half when Byrne got back. And there's a lot of fuss about Byrne. It was like a lot of comments saying how wonderful he was, and how he made two great blocks, and the club have shown those, and they were great blocks, although the player shouldn't let him. But he also made two or three really costly errors potentially as well. There's one when Duffy kept it in play and played to him, and he was dozing, and the defender and the striker got the ball off him and actually kind of won. And actually kind of attacked from there. There was another couple where he lost the ball because he was a bit slow. And he isn't a first choice player. And I hate to say it, given the start, he's actually Norris Duffy. If we're going to be like competing with like sort of, I think if we can get our first choice back, we'll have Veltman, Duncan, Webster in central defence. Yeah. That will be our central defence with Lamptey and Cucurella as wing backs. And maybe with the options we've got, March, maybe play further forward, actually, because we've got not that many tracking options these
it's
days.
It's about how ambitious we want to be. And that's not to be the careful what you wish for thing. It's not the Alan Kerbyshire with Charlton scenario. No. This is about how we could logically step on from what we've got, build on what we've got. It's not changing managers, it's not changing philosophies, it's about personnel.
But I think there's been a lot of talk about how, you know, our stats this year aren't the same in terms of we are winning games, we're nicking them, but we're not actually winning games by playing the way we did last season. And I wonder how much that is down to having Duffy and then to a degree since then Byrne in central defence as well, because we can't afford to push so far forward. Without Webster and all that sort of thing, we play a bit deeper, possibly.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think the midfield was the issue, wasn't it? It was the issue at Palace. I think it was to some degree resolved against Arsenal, and it was more about the finishing and chance creation in that game. But it came back, I think, in this match, because I think Modda, first of all, I don't think had his best game. I think Lallana did play quite well, but then made a couple of sloppy errors.
Lallana played.
They got a silly booking as well.
Lallana, well, I didn't think that was. I mean, we're going to discuss the referee probably at some point later on, but he basically made every decision that he could in Norwich's favour, including the one big decision in the game, which I think he got wrong, but we'll come to that
in a bit. We'll talk about that in a minute, But I do think that combination of three, Modda, Lallana, and Grosch, doesn't give you enough.
Yeah, not enough pace.
You need some beef. If it's not Bissouma, then fine. Okay, if he's not available or whatever, fine, but we need to have somebody else that can do
that. I think Modder might be okay, but he's played further forward than he seems to be permanently up the pitch, and it's like, he's the one who should be the pivot of that three, who should be the one who gets stuck in, because it's a lot more his game than Grosch's or Lallana's.
If we're going to play those three, yes. And it seemed to me that Lallana was the man played deeper.
Yeah.
And I think it's weird because he had a good game.
But not for that reason. It's for him to control it. But we need someone who's going to get stuck in that position.
So
it's not like
more,
we're not so good that we can afford to have a kind of like passing, kind of like midfield general passing it round in that position. We need someone who's actually going to get stuck in and get the ball. Bissouma is the obvious answer. But Modda, to be fair, is a much more of an answer than the other two.
I mean, Lallana was playing more as a deep pivot, and that's too deep for him.
Yeah.
He's a creative player. He should be at least halfway along.
Yeah, I thought Lallana had a pretty good game, to be honest, generally.
I did.
I thought Dunk probably was man the match from my point of view. I think he, of everyone, he had a defence who didn't make any errors, and he covered it quite well at times.
Yeah.
And a couple of times tackling, he came forward and broke forward and got balls into the box.
There was a dangerous threat in the end of the first, somewhere near the end of the first half, where there was a dangerous threat down the right side, and he ran on, he got nonchalant, slowed down, realised I can time this, timed his tackle, and almost broke free to their guy, but he still got it away, and it was good defending. There were two good covering tackles from Dunk, two from Duffy, two from Byrne. One of Byrne's was a recovery from his own mistake.
Yeah, and he made a couple of other mistakes.
The other one was superb,
well,
towards the end from Pookie. But as you said, Pookie's not the fastest striker. If you've got...
Sergeant as well. And in that one there, Byrne got back against him when he pushed the ball away from goal, and in doing so lost his ground, and that's why Dunk was able to get across.
That mistake against Sterling or Salah, and it's 1-0.
Well, probably not Sterling.
Well, it won't be 1-0, we'll be losing.
Probably not Sterling to us as well.
Oh yeah, Sterling in the doghouse. Yeah.
So we'll have him if you want.
Yeah, we'll
take him Saturday if you want. I'm sure that's allowed, you know.
Yeah, well, we could.
I'm sure that'd be fine. You know?
Unofficially, so we could just score our own goals for them. That'll do.
But it is frustrating because I think the last three games we've not got the points that we should have arguably got. If we played a better team, if we'd obviously have Basuma and that sort of thing, yes, fair enough. But if we'd actually had a better team than we might have done, it's frustrating because we've now got a couple of games where we probably will lose, and then it's a matter of if we don't win against Newcastle, we're looking at, well, we've maybe not quite made the most of our start. I'm not saying we're in trouble or anything like that, but we've not made the most of our start that we had.
I have to say, on that matter, I think Newcastle are absolute dog shit. I think we'll beat them. I think they're terrible.
They did score after 2 minutes against Tottenham.
Yeah, that's all just high chicks, isn't it?
Just a big club and all that, you know.
They're all so excited, aren't they?
Yeah. And Eric Dyer scored a goal for them.
Yeah.
Before his big money move in January.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we end up pulling a result against City now, because it's just the way of the Albion, isn't it? We screwed up against Norwich.
I'm much more confident, ignoring the fact that obviously we'd do anyway at home, but I'm much more confident against City and Liverpool. Liverpool look untouchable at the moment, basically. Yeah. Kind of. I know they got a draw at Brentford, drew with them, that sort of thing, but I think generally they look brilliant, whereas City look beatable.
I'm going to call it out, Peter. A lot of people are going, oh, it's a reality check, blah, 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 we're slipping down, now we've got a couple of tough games, we'll end up on mid-table.
We didn't slip down, we slipped up this weekend.
I know, ironically we have, but over the next 2 weeks we'll slip down mid-table, blah, 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 blah. I don't concur with that idea at all. I think we underachieved last year, partly due to bad luck, partly due to decisions, partly due to profligacy in front of goal. There's a mixture of things, and maybe we
mainly the latter, though.
And maybe we didn't create the chances we should have done as well.
We still missed some absolute sitters, though.
We did. All of that's together. This year, it's been a different manifestation. We've done the opposite. We've almost been
overachieved,
bizarrely clinical, until the last two or three games. And the worry a lot of people have got is Arsenal and Norwich shows. Well, actually, more Arsenal.
Yeah,
I don't think Norwich did.
Norwich was, we didn't really create any chances that much. It's like Trossard was barely a chance that chip.
But we've, as you said, we've got these injuries. Basuma was missing from those three games. It's no coincidence we failed to win all three of those matches. Yes, we didn't lose any of them either, but we didn't win them.
The worry is that all things being equal, everything gets sorted out. Basuma will be going in the summer anyway. We've got to find a way to win without Basuma.
Between now and then.
Yeah.
But we've got other players who were impactful who haven't been involved recently, such as Webster, but more importantly,
not so much Webster. We haven't really conceded one goal in that time.
We looked a different team with Lamptey, didn't we? And Lamptey isn't Lamptey yet. Lamptey is a different...
I thought when he came on, first 10 minutes he looked really lively, and the whole team looked a lot more lively in that process.
Everything seemed to be happening down there, didn't it?
And he sparked, obviously it was right in front of us at the away end, and he sparked it, and it was really, looked really exciting. And I think a couple of times he lost the ball, and then he lost a little bit of confidence, I think, possibly, to have a real go.
I agree with that, and I do think he was reticent as well. Clearly it's a thing to do with injuries, especially hamstring injuries.
He also probably didn't want to be like stuck upfield while we conceded a goal or whatever as well. Which
exactly, that's that. But I think in terms of taking players on, knocking the ball past them and running on, or just running past them with the ball, he was reticent in those regards. And I think that's not a criticism. I think it's understandable because he's just come back from a 10-month hamstring injury.
Frankly, I would rather rather he took a little bit off his speed.
Absolutely.
Bit slower, but still able to really go at players. Didn't have hamstring issues.
The initiative was all down that side. What it was he was getting a lot of the ball. There was a lot of enthusiasm around him, and Trossard started to gravitate that way a lot, didn't he? and other players as well. And there was a lot of link-up play, but what was happening was Lamptey was cutting inside and tending to play easier balls and just shorter link-up play balls, which weren't really going anywhere. The Lamptey we know would have knocked the ball past
and had a go.
The guy who was on a yellow card just before he came on, and as soon as he got the yellow card, I said, right, get Lamptey on. And in fact, we got Lamptey on almost immediately.
Yeah.
Was it coincidental with the timing of the yellow?
Beltman obviously had been booked as well himself.
And Beltman had been booked, so it was a double whammy. Take our guy off, he's on a yellow, plus also put pressure on their guy on a yellow. I think it was just fortuitous timing. But anyway, he didn't really do what I was then hoping to happen, which was to really drive at the guy and force him into fouls. But I can understand why not, because I do think he's gonna be cagey. He's probably had a relapse at some point during his recovery.
Oh, he definitely has, yeah. It's like, kind of,
so he's not only had the initial injury.
He had a 23 game quite a long time ago and then didn't play after that.
Yeah, so he's had setbacks after trying to recover. So he's coming in for his first game in the Premier League, and admittedly he had more time in the Swansea game of the League Cup, but 45 minutes. And this game he had...
Well, that's still a while ago, still over a month
ago. So I think he's cagey, he's reticent, he's worried.
But he still looked more threatening in a lot of ways than any of our other players in the second half.
Yeah, and he still... There were two or three things he did, and little link-up things which did make
it
more
exciting. It was so good to see him live as well, because it's the first time.
I know, at last, we've seen him live. Cheers to that. Absolutely.
Finally, after like, I rarely is a player quite so well acclaimed in their first game for Albion.
I was quite anxious about that. I'd seen Ben White play before he moved. I was anxious about Lamptey. I think, is this going to be one of those freak scenarios where I'll never see this player play for us? But he was great. In terms of, he got stuck in.
Yeah.
And what happened, and we'll talk about the referee more in a minute. This was symptomatic of the referee, though. Lamptey is a player who's very slight. He's very tiny in terms of his height. He's not particularly well built at all either. And he puts himself about, and he gives as good as he gets.
That's the maximum remembers from last year when he kind of shoved him off the ball and meant Maximum to get off the pitch, whatever, kind of like to get substituted after about 25 minutes, embarrassed by...
Yeah. So he's going in, just doing 50-50 challenges, which are just simply that, nothing more, nothing less. 50-50 challenges, let the ball roll. No, not this referee. He blew up every single time.
Do you not remember that really dirty challenge on Batshuayi last year in the penalty box? I mean, he is a pretty physical, sluggish player.
That was brutal, wasn't it? Yeah.
He basically kind of like took his whole like kind of took him apart basically.
I'm only annoyed you haven't mentioned this sooner. Right.
he was such a physical, dirty player, you know.
Yeah.
And Batshuayi is such a like midget.
But have you ever seen a small, slight guy being chastised, penalised, pulled up?
I mean,
as many times,
can I go into my referee rant now?
We'll do, but after I finish my little mini rant, he puts himself about, but nothing more than just good as he gets type of stuff. And every single time I've seen Lamptey challenge, a free kick's been given against him, not just this season, in the past as well.
But a dreadful sending off at Villa as well last year, which is completely
exactly,
ridiculous.
Which was a joke. And in this game, the last of the three incidents I'm talking about was a really looped ball over to the
court.
And he leapt, like he must have got about 7 foot off the air, leapt with the other guy, who leapt less because he isn't so tall, so short. And Lamptey, I was concerned how he landed, because I thought he's coming from quite a height, didn't quite get much on it, landed. It was a 50-50, there's nothing in it, let the ball roll.
And he
gave the free kick.
And he also gave one for like, linesman gave, having missed a blatant one of our players, when Lamptey was shoulder to shoulder with their guy and just outstrengthed him, basically. But he must have been like, well, he's so small, he can't have outstrengthed
him.
How
was he getting picked up for this? This happens the other way around usually.
Okay,
you usually see the bigger guy, don't you?
In the case of Saturday,
gets unfairly penalised.
In the case of Saturday, hopefully, it's because the referee was an absolute joke.
Well, he was
Peter Banks is a terrible referee. How on earth he is in the Premier League is beyond me. I mean, the man is genuine. I don't think I've seen a game where he's had a good refereeing game.
I'm going in with that as well.
He is dreadful.
If you're listening, Steve, and if you're in the refs union on this one, we apologise.
If he's,
if he's an example
of what is coming up from the lower leagues, then frankly, the Premier League is fucked. Because he is one of the worst referees I think I've ever seen.
We'll get onto the penalty in a minute, but the niggly stuff.
Every single decision, 60-40 even, 70-30 even, went Norwich's way.
Yeah.
Literally all of them.
Three problems I've got with that. First of all, it's going to frustrate the players unfairly, more than they should be frustrated, because they're not getting a fair deal.
Yeah.
Secondly, it's going to frustrate the fans in the same way, and that is very, very infuriating indeed. And thirdly, that can have an effect on... Well, it breaks the flow of the game, which...
But he wasn't doing it to Norwich. He's letting Norwich get away with shoves in the back. There was, like, example, a couple of times where Dunk got shoved in the back from behind, no free kick, but yet they were. So, as an example of my.
And Lallana booking as well.
Yeah. So, as an example of my frustration, Lallana gets booked for something that I was regarded as pretty petty, to be honest. I mean, Veltman, no issue with that. That was a pretty clear booking.
Yeah.
I think their first booking was similar. It was like, was holding on to Grosh. The guy basically hugged him.
Also,
but then Lallana, the guy turned away. He might have caught him, but he didn't mean to. He was kind of like, it was pretty. Cucurella again was behind him. You could argue possibly it was a bit more of a booking, but it wasn't like a clear one. Second half, Mopay gets away from their guy, runs in towards with Trossard towards goal. The guy basically pulls him back.
Yeah.
No booking.
Yeah.
How is that consistent? He's like 20 yards from goal, Mopay. He's like, we're trying to start.
It's a professional foul, isn't it?
The guy would have expected a booking foul there. He would have come away from that thinking I'm going to get a yellow card, and yet he doesn't book him. Mm. How is that consistent? How is that? And it's like, it's not, I understand that some referees are different and some referees aren't, that's fine. So I'm not particularly demanding that every single time someone's pulled back in a situation or Lallana does something like that, it's booked. What I'm saying is, in the same game, how can you give a yellow card for one thing where Lallana's just like, the guy's turned away from me, he's been slightly misdirected and he's clipped him, and not for someone being basically pulling Mopay down when running at the defence?
Yeah.
How is that, you know, and yeah, Peter Banks is genuinely a dreadful referee. And whoever was on the VAR as well that weekend. Graham Scott, of course. Yeah. How on earth did he manage to miss that penalty? It was so. I know it wasn't a huge contact, but when you're going through on goal at pace, any contact is a penalty. No question. He stops, you know, Mopay carries on. Because he's trying to stay on his feet because he's got an open goal. He then goes down because he can't stay on his feet, and yeah, it was a dreadful decision.
And you said some Norwich fans are claiming that
he dived and that sort of bollocks like that.
But
yeah.
Why wasn't he booked? Because I agree with the notion that it isn't necessarily a penalty or a booking when someone goes over.
But they were saying he died, which he clearly
didn't.
In
this particular instance, it is one or the other, because he's got absolutely no reason. He wasn't off balance.
And referees, and you've been interested at some point to speak to Steve actually about this. Referees and officials and that sort of thing moan about the fact that players go down easily. How are players supposed to stay on their feet if they get punished for staying on their feet, trying to stay on their feet?
Yeah, we missed out because we tried to be honest.
If Mopay had gone straight down there, he'd have got a penalty, I'm pretty sure, and it wouldn't have been overruled.
It's happened in another game I can't recall at the moment. And then there's...
We talked about the Montoya one at Palace a couple of years ago, where he clearly got fouled, but then carried on trying to take a shot because he was trying to stay on his feet.
An inferior shot because he was off balance.
Yeah, exactly.
And yet we get nothing for that.
And it's like, why, as a player, would you stay on your feet...
Yeah.
If you're going to get nothing for it as compared to getting a penalty,
so
if you don't.
Can nobody ever from now on complain about players diving?
Because why wouldn't you?
I encourage.
And it's not even diving. It's like, you understand why Mo Salah now goes down easily, because it's like, if he gets a slight contact, well, he's not going to get anything if he carries on and goes down.
All that tells you is, he's a brilliant player. And it also tells you he's a savvy player from an earlier point
until,
in time.
Until referees and VAR start looking at it and going like, well, he tried to stay on his feet, but he clearly was clipped. Players will go down easily because...
Well, I fully endorse us going down easily from now on forevermore. Because
if Mopay goes straight down,
it doesn't work.
If Mopay goes straight down there, which he could have done probably because he probably was off balance, it's a penalty.
Yeah.
But because he tries to stay on his feet and tries to do the right thing and tries to score a goal and then falls over, he gets accused of diving and gets nothing.
Yeah, it's farcical and that
VAR,
he isn't given it.
And how on earth VAR watches that and doesn't pick up on it?
You can see it. It's patently obvious to see. And there shouldn't be any issue with it at all. Fair enough, just play the game, let's see the situation out, and then just give the honest decision, the correct decision. But that's not happening.
That's what VAR is there for.
Yeah, it's not. It's failing on that level. Yeah. It's failing.
We had a discussion before
that's
we started
the pod.
That's
not just to do with VAR, is it, actually?
We had a discussion about the pod, and there was a thread in North Stand chat earlier as well, I saw, has VAR gone too far the other way?
I definitely prefer this incarnation of it.
But I think the issue I had before was like the offsides by a centimetre.
That's definitely improved.
And that has been taken off, that's fine.
Yeah.
But the fact that, Tarkowski isn't having his goal rule out for basically shoving Mopay in the chest.
It's the infringement in the box has gone too far the other way. It's gone from anything. And I agree, the Liverpool penalty at the Amex, I think under the rules, that was the correct decision, despite what Liverpool fans say. However, in the essence of the, in the feeling of the game, should it have been no?
But Mopay shouldn't have been. He's about to score, and he gets infringed by the keeper.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter whether it's a tight touch or he basically kind of takes him out completely.
Yeah.
It's still a penalty, and it's clear clips of cruel kind of touch clipping him.
Yeah.
So, why has VAR not overruled it or sent it back to the referee or whatever?
Yeah.
He clearly can see he caught him.
Yeah.
It's not even a question. No one questions whether he caught him. If he caught him, it's a penalty.
So Neil, you're a shithouse then. You know, you're underselling yourself.
Go down early.
Go down early. It's in your genes, surely.
And it frustrates me because all officials moan about how can we do our job when players go down so easily. It's like, well, if you did your job, players wouldn't need to go down so easily.
Exactly.
If you actually were competent.
Chicken and egg.
And if you didn't have Peter Banks, the referee, who is, frankly,
shambles.
Probably up there, if not the worst in Premier League, I think.
He's a shambles, yeah. The other
I hope we don't have him for a long time. Although we have got Kevin Friend at the weekend, apparently, which is
friend to no one.
Friend by name, not by nature.
We've got even fortunes from games he's refereed.
Yeah, it's because he's incompetent, as you were saying earlier. He's just generally incompetent rather than biased incompetent.
The other issue they had three bookings in this game, I think it was, three or four. We had five. It wasn't that kind of game at all, was it?
It was a fussy referee who laid his cards down. He booked Veltman. I think was kind of like obviously no question about
sure
that.
Sure as hell,
no
he never that. Referees a Palace Brighton game,
but then
an Everton Liverpool game,
he
or a Liverpool Man U game.
He pretty much laid his marker down because once he put Lallana for that, you then have a race you have to try and follow it up. And then the irony, it's the most blatant booking breach of the game when Mopé went through and the guy holding him back was not given. It's like, well, how is it consistent?
We pick up too many bookings one way or the other.
Yeah.
Now part of that is I think we're too sloppy and we make silly, stupid ones that we don't need to pick up. And you get things like Bissouma got sent off 3-0 up against Newcastle. I mean, that's a red card, not a yellow. But there's a number of examples where we've done unnecessary stuff. That is true. Fair play. But some of this stuff is to do with niggly booking. Was it Leicester or Arsenal? There's a very niggly ref. I think it was the Leicester game.
Yeah, Arsenal was pretty. There wasn't really much in Arsenal.
Free kicks and lots of niggly stuff. It irritates me. It irritates me as a fan, as a neutral watching a game. It irritates me as a fan of a club who's on the receiving end of this shit. I just don't understand.
You say watching that back without any sort of back, you say it was a two or three booking game, maybe four.
Yeah.
You wouldn't say it was like a five for us and a three or four for
ridiculous.
Them. But yeah.
Ridiculous. It sounds like the worst kind of derby, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah,
he should never be officiating the North London Derby, the Birmingham Derby, the Sheffield.
I mean, frankly, he should have been officiating anything.
Leeds, the man
should not be officiating football. Full stop.
Exactly. Give me the job.
How on earth is Peter Banks a Premier League official? I don't understand. He is dreadful.
Yeah, Jonathan Moss as well. How's Jonathan Moss passing the fitness test? By the way,
yeah,
that's a very interesting question. I think as well. Anyway, we went on a Wolves game
last year. Jonathan Moss did was. Obviously, the dunk thing wasn't his fault. That was a blown red card, but. All the stuff around Byrne basically being like hugged in the area and not being given and that sort of thing. It's like he was, and then sending Mopé off after the game and basically saying he was useless was embarrassing.
Well, in terms of chances, both sides claim they could have won it. I mean, obviously, Josh Sargent, that's an absolute merit at the end of the first half. Pookie, couple of chances. Dan Byrne saved us for sure. And our defence in the end.
Well, I'm not sure he did save it before because I'm not sure that they frankly would have shot that well. So.
No, but that was a brilliant, especially the second saving challenge was brilliant because the stakes were high there, weren't they?
Yeah.
And they're good from the penalty spot. If we had conceded a penalty, that would have been a nightmare. But he hooked with his nearer leg, which was the right leg, he hooked the ball and it came back off Pookie. We got the goal kick. Absolutely brilliant.
Perfect
scenario. So they had their threats, but we had our chances. We had the penalty incident. That should have been a penalty. We had Lallana kicking into the ground, bouncing back up. Good save from Krull.
Yeah.
We had Trossard.
He did really want to keep that down, Lallana, actually, I thought.
He did. He was probably conscious of Raymond's, the gent's heavy criticism of him kicking it over the bar on a regular basis.
I thought you were going to say Raymond was like trying to tackle him.
But he might have been doing it. He'd been there,
But and then also the rebound was quite well blocked. I think it was like whoever it was Duffy or Berman. I'm trying to get a shot away, and it was the guy basically kind of blocked it because actually if he had a free shot, it was like 6 yards out. Yeah.
So that was decent. And then you've got that brilliant move that led to Trossard's shot that hit the bar. I mean, basically Trossard was laid the ball out wide. The ball came in, and Morpé sort of did like a cushioned slight sort of volley ball back over wider. To Trossard, who immediately hooked it with his left foot. Perfect, beautiful technique. Really nice shot. We thought from the away end, because it was the far end to the left as we looked, that it had hit the bar directly. It turned out from Match of the Day highlights, which we both saw later, that actually Tim Krul had tipped it onto the bar, and therefore, from what we could see on TV, it looked like the initial shot was going to, I would say, probably go in off the underside. That's what it looked like, that kind of a shot. So that's a brilliant save.
Yeah, I thought it was just gone straight to the bar, yeah. So I had no concept that it was...
If that or the penalty or both had gone in, it's a different game, isn't it?
Second
it's
half,
an easy win.
Until the Mopé chance, we didn't really create that much, did we? It was like kind of...
But that's it. We take our chances when they come. Yeah, we could have put the penalty away. Trossard did have a very good shot. We could have been 2-0 up and cruising.
I thought the big difference was second half was that... Trossard didn't really come out second half.
No, he didn't.
He was brilliant.
He weaving run, didn't he?
He was
where
the one.
Spooned it
yeah. But even then, he should have passed to Mopé on a wing.
Which wasn't on match
and
of the
and
day.
And he should have passed
way.
To Mopé on a wing then. He had a number of chances. Mopé was out wide and he had a chance to play out to him.
Yes.
And then he went into the crowd in a way and actually got through a few and couldn't quite get a proper shot away. But he should have played it out wide.
Yeah.
But I thought he was really good first half. He was our best attacker. He offered a lot more than anyone else. The second half, he didn't really come out after half-time.
He definitely faded, didn't he?
Yeah. And
I think, apart from the link-up play with Tarek, which was limited in terms of effectiveness. Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, no worries.
Thank you very much, guys.
No worries. No worries. Watching some stuff for people. That's what we do. That's what we do.
Live on air.
While we're podcasting. I think, apart from that and that weaving run where he just spooned it wide in the end, he faded. He definitely did fade. What was positive is you look at the bench, Bissouma, okay, he's coming back from injury. Lamptey's coming back from injury. McAllister wasn't used. And then you've got Solly March who came on. Now, Solly March, I think he obviously created the chance for Morpé, which when all was said and done, whatever had gone before, it was 0-0. Final moments.
Yeah.
We saw this chance. We weren't sure that Solly was going to be able to create the space.
Solly did really well there.
But the way he touched it and the way he moved, he created the room to go past effectively a couple of players, cut the ball in. Morpé had to get a half touch on it.
I think it's one of those ones that looks a lot worse than actually it is, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. It was. You had to be subtle. It had to be very accurate. And I think he needed...
Ironically, if he'd missed it, it might have been better because the defender might have poked into the goal.
Yeah, he might have done, But a half-touch would have put it in the goal.
It was a superb cross, though.
And Solly did well there.
So well,
strength and depth on the bench. And,
the other one, it's interesting. I know, obviously, there'll be a lot of people disagreeing with this, but I wondered if it was Connolly's sort of game. Norwich were ever more
that's
pushing for a goal
when
their defence was pretty slow.
I said that
whether his pace behind the defence would be a...
That's what we were saying. We thought they would get at a ball in defence. And I said at the game...
Whether he'd have taken a chance, whatever, that sort of thing, I don't know.
I said at the game,
if he's not going to do it in this sort of game, with a pretty average defence who are pretty slow and pushing forward, because they needed the points as much as we did, you know, they needed to win. So it was like an open game the last 20 minutes. Why not give Connolly a go that situation?
Yeah. I said that in the grounds to... I had Robin, friend of the show.
If he's ever going to be a useful option, other than if you desperately need him, Mopé or something like that, surely that game, that position would be the one to do it.
He would have been right for it. I think he would have suited that game. I said it at the time. And also with the Mopé chance, when that happened, we said we looked at each other and said, that was it. We felt like there was going to be a chance. That was that chance.
And then they had the last, some minutes of injury time. They had a couple of chances. And
Danny Byrne.
A couple of free kicks they were gifted by the referee as well. That kind of. Also, can I just say, the last minute, what do you want from your goalkeeper when they're putting a free kick in from like the halfway line to the box? Sanchez was superb. He came to pretty much the edge of the area, just absolutely dominated that.
Yeah,
and took it.
Yeah.
You know, there's no kind of like hanging around worrying about whether it's going to, or heading clear and just getting back into the box and that sort of thing. Sanchez just dominated that. He was superb. Like it was Liverpool in that last minute of that game. Yeah. He was brilliant there. And he is, to be fair, after a nightmare, frankly, first half against Burnley, where he came out and dropped and that sort of thing. He's had another good, really good start to the season.
Yeah, I mean, this game, two points I want to make on Sanchez. First of all, this was a game where he made a glaring error. Admittedly, it was a distraction with Dunk. But it was a glaring error nonetheless. He should have got more on that. Should have got it clear, and he didn't. And we got away with that. No doubt about it. It was out of his hands, and we got away with it. So he was lucky in that regard. The other thing was, at one point during the first half, I saw that Sanchez was standing on the centre circle. You think, my God, that's something else, isn't it? That's a real sweeper-keeper scenario there. It's synonymous with a mixture of confidence and... just general team intent as displayed there, really, isn't it? Which is one thing I wanted to mention.
And it comes out, he takes a shot from 20.
So the other thing was, obviously we had Bissouma was on the bench, and we've missed Bissouma for the previous two games. He didn't start or indeed have any involvement in this match either. He's coming back from injury. There may or may not be other matters to take into consideration as well. But a couple of things to mention with him. I mean, first of all, at some point, I can't remember when it was in the game, he was warming up on the far side from where we were, which is the dugout side, and he was getting dogs abuse from a small number of people in the kind of the wedge directly opposite us to the right, Norwich fans who were really spitting feathers about something. I can't imagine what they might have been going on about, but I don't know if that may have had anything to do with why he wasn't involved in the team or not. Who knows? He's coming back from an injury. I think we did miss him for sure. I think it was important probably to keep him involved in the squad on the basis that there's no reason not to, particularly at this stage. And it's encouraging maybe that the fact that he's involved in that squad, possibly. Yeah. We don't know what's happening going forward, but maybe he'll be involved on Saturday. We'll see. But it's a shame not to see him there. But he did come on for a warm-up at half-time and he got a rousing reception for the Albion.
Well, I thought he was coming on at half-time because he was definitely warming up. But exactly, I maybe think he was...
Well, I thought the same thing. It's only afterwards I suddenly thought, well, actually, maybe that's to do with injury recuperation reasons. He's got a different run of kind of things to go through, maybe. I'm not sure. Because the others, I mean, there was Lamptey, there was Mwepo, March, a few others were all warming up together, weren't they?
Yeah, so everyone else was doing their kind of normal keepy-uppy sort of...
And Lamptey got a brilliant reception. We've already mentioned that he played a part, and it was great to see him in the flesh, even though he's not the Lamptey we know yet. But McAllister, we mentioned him. I'm not sure if we mentioned it on air or not, but McAllister is a player who both of us really rate.
Yeah, he did come on in the end, didn't he, for the last 5-10 minutes? Was that him? Or was the third sub after March and...
Yeah, it was him, But he didn't come
on. But he doesn't get enough time.
He didn't come on for Lallana because Kukurea and Veltman both got bookings and they both got replaced by Lamptey and March. And then Lallana was on a booking, but McAllister didn't come on for him. He came on for Modder, I believe. I think that's right.
Yeah.
Which obviously they trusted Lallana not to get another booking. But ultimately, it was good. The strength and depth on the bench, when you look at it, Basuma, McAllister, Lamptey, March, great bench.
Yeah, I'd say one or two of the members of the first team is lacking, possibly, and I know there's a lot of fuss about Grosh back and forth and people like give up his stats, but a lot of his stats are from set pieces and I'm not convinced that he's set pieces are good enough at the moment to justify him being in the team when he, in all due fairness, doesn't offer maybe enough from open play. Yeah. And my big worry about midfield and our team generally as well, but especially our midfield, is a bit too slow. And the number of times we missed a chance to like move the ball quicker and we go backwards instead and we kind of pull. And especially in a game against someone like Norwich where, you know, they are a bit slow at times, you know, maybe we could have pushed forward and they were trying to get the ball behind us like, all the time, whereas we didn't really do that very often. And and it's frustrating because the number of times we like look like we're going to kind of push forward and then suddenly we kind of step back and then suddenly that even one or two better chances where we, you know, ended up with a decent shot, they still had more players in the box than to block it at that point or...
We've said it many times before, it's about moments football and one of those moments, you know, the Trossard, the Morpay scenarios for us, Sargent for them, whatever.
I wouldn't even call Trossard a moment really in a way. It was such a brilliant bit of, I mean, I think it was like meant to happen, it was meant to do it.
It
was such a brilliant bit of, you know, innovation, but it wasn't really a moment, you know. I think the penalty and the Sargent
miss. Okay, well, incident. Could change again. One of those happens, the others don't.
And that would have been
you've got a different decision.
That would have been a crazy goal. I mean, I think once, if we scored the first goal, they probably would have dropped their heads after.
Now, we've scored one goal in three games. We failed to win in three games. That doesn't sound good. But we have had further clean sheets. Yeah. We're going somewhere towards a 50% clean sheet ratio at this rate.
Yeah.
We're unbeaten in all but one games this season, which was at home to Everton, where we had no pace and no wingers.
Yeah,
we've got a reason not to have won that game, and Everton were on better form than they are now. It's been good overall. It does keep the unbeaten run going. Yes, we've got two games, very, very losable games coming up, but we've got an unbeaten run going here, which is great, isn't it? 8 games in, we've only lost one match. We're fourth in the table, is it now?
Yeah, and last season we won the next 5 games.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's pretty easy,
let's
really.
Let's do that again, shall we, Peter?
Just repeat that we top, probably.
Sorted. I'm relatively happy. I'm in a strange way. I feel like it was a wasted opportunity.
I
wasn't in a gutted mood.
I think I was feeling more relaxed after the game because the longer it went on, the more chance I felt Norwich had of nicking it, and I thought they might do it.
And they had the last chance.
They had the last chance. They had, except for Mopay's chance late on. I think we didn't really create a lot in the last half hour. And so really, you know, we threatened a bit, but we didn't really create a lot. So
yeah,
I actually came away thinking a draw wasn't that bad a result. And in a way, it's a game we might have lost last season.
Yeah.
So one of the struggling teams, they might have nicked a goal and we'd have not had the quality to get back into it. So
the vitally important thing was we didn't lose the game. They've not gained any ground on us. Not that we're worrying about
Norwich, for all the fact we have a relatively not easy start, but winnable start from the season. Mm. We've got 15 points from 8 games and we're 4th in the league. I mean, as much as yes, we could have beaten Norwich, but you know, we probably aren't going to get anything for the next 2 games, etc. You can't really complain too much. I mean, even if we lose to Liverpool and City, we still have 1.5 a game, which comfortably keeps us well up the table, gives us by far the most points in the top flight.
Yeah.
That sort of record.
Yeah.
And once we play them, we'll be relatively back up to sort of like playing relative top and bottom teams. We won't be too far off.
Yeah.
We'll play those. We'll play Arsenal. We'll play Everton. We'll have played Leicester, all of whom are expected to be top half in the season, you'd say.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that even if we don't get anything for the next 2, I will remain reasonably positive. Obviously, I don't want to lose both games 5-0, but if we're competitive when we give them both good games, maybe we lose by 1 or 2.
Yeah.
Then we've got 2 winnable home games and a winner. But, you know, I mean, Villa away, they're hardly exactly on a great form. They lost to Wolves at the weekend and been 2 up with 10 minutes left. So, you know, they're all winnable games in that sense. We then got a tough run around Christmas.
Yeah, I agree with all of that. I think that's all spot on. It's always disappointing to know you could have got 2 more points against a team who, ultimately, if we were at our best, we win that game. Norwich are a poor team, unfortunately for them.
Some Norwich fans suggested the other day that they had a better players on paper than us, and I was like,
no, they don't.
I don't really understand where you're getting
delusional.
That from.
That's delusional. Yeah.
I mean, I don't really get it. It's like, and there was some, I saw some tweet from a Palace fan saying, like, finally, some neutrals trying to see how poor they are, and it's like,
no.
I don't understand where you're getting this from. You know, it's like, I don't really see how you can compare our team to yours.
The telling thing here is finally some neutrals saying how poor they are. That suggests that neutrals have been saying they're not poor for so long. Maybe most of the neutrals are right.
Yeah.
I don't know, just a notion. Speaking of Palace, we're recording this
their
Tuesday.
Their favourite minute.
They lost the 3-point scenario. They gained only 1 point from their game away at Arsenal.
I'm sure they'll be bemoaning their luck, but if you keep conceding late goals, as we've done in the past, it isn't necessarily bad luck. It's because you lose concentration, you kind of have put all your all into the game, and you tire at the end of the game, that sort of thing. It isn't necessarily...
Well, you're just not good enough for long enough.
Yeah, exactly. A sign, you know, you're playing for 94 minutes and it's a 95-minute
game.
Point per
game, they're just surviving, aren't they, Peter? Yeah.
And apparently Ben White didn't let it bounce yesterday when he kind of pushed it back into the box.
That was brilliant, wasn't it? Yeah, no, I mean...
I felt really sorry for them, though. It's tough to have that twice in the space of a month.
Can you imagine how annoying that would be to keep conceding
that goal? And then you've also got to go back to the Selhurst area, so, you know,
exactly.
Doubly annoying.
That's if they live in that area.
If they don't, that would be even more annoying for them if they had to go back there and they didn't live there. They were like, I've still got an hour to get home from here. Why come here?
It's great to see them down there. They're, what, 7 points adrift of us still.
Yeah,
and yeah, they played some tough games. So we, I fully expect us to be above the teams that have annoyed us by being above us recently: Palace, Southampton, Newcastle. I do not expect to see any of those 3 above us at the end of this season.
Burnley as well. Although last season
but those 4 teams, I expect to see below us this season.
I have one more to add to that list.
Is it Leeds? How did I guess? It's not going well for them. They have got an injury crisis, though. The media keep telling us. We don't have one, apparently.
Yeah.
We didn't have one against Leicester last season.
No, we never had one.
Leicester did, apparently.
We never have one, obviously, you know. But, yeah, if Leeds have, like, Calvin Phillips has got, like, it's like slightly kind of, like, 99% fit, they've got an injury crisis. Whereas if we have all our players out, they're like, well, you know, they're just...
Teams going down. I mean, Norwich, I'm afraid I've got to say...
I don't see Norwich I've got a friend who's a Norwich fan, and I was chatting to him at the weekend, and I don't think his comment before the game was that I could only see a Brighton win. Obviously, that didn't happen, but his view, it seems, generally is that they don't have a defence or an attack, and their midfield's pretty average as well. So.
Yeah. All I'll say is I had a 5-fold bet accumulator. The only team that failed was Brighton. I had City and Liverpool. I think it was Reading or something. I can't remember. There were 2 other teams at Brighton, and we're the only ones that failed. It was a game where if we showed up, we were going to win it.
Yeah.
Norwich had only got a creditable draw at home to Brighton because we weren't on our game. And
yeah, we were dreadful, and they up their game. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see Norwich, Burnley, and Watford in the season, because I think Watford. Yeah. Watford's appointment is pretty poor. I thought Mandrake was a terrible point for Leicester, and he did win the league, and that was a ridiculously amazing stat.
But he got sacked from Fulham.
Exactly, within. And that's a more kind of. I don't know what happened at Leicester. Obviously, kind of connected right, and whatever worked, but it then didn't pretty quickly the next season. The fact that they sacked him after only 3 months after winning the title, or 3 months. 6 months after winning the title, 3 months into the season.
It was just perfect storm, or stars aligned, or whatever you want to call it. A load of component factors went together.
I think Watford have got more chance of going down now they've got rid of their manager and brought in Ranieri than before they brought in Ranieri.
Yeah, I think so too. And we talk about new manager bounce, so why do you let it bounce? Here we go again with that.
New manager bounce did not work out very well.
5-0, they were destroyed by Liverpool. Salah is insanely good at the moment. He's the best player in the world at the moment.
I'm relatively relaxed with Saturday. I don't fear City as much as maybe once we did. I think they're a bit more mixed this season. They have games for these stuff teams, but they also have games where they can't get a goal and they get frustrated.
I've got a feeling we're going to win this.
I mean, I certainly think we'll compete with them. Liverpool, on the other hand, Anfield could get nasty, actually.
I'm
shitting
myself. Yeah, about that, to be
I mean, that front three is. On the other hand, the defence is not as good as it was once, actually, because they conceded three against Brentford. They've, you know, if you put them under a bit of pressure, the problem is with our strike options.
They will give me chances.
Yeah, the problem is we don't have necessarily the strike options at the moment with our injuries that we maybe would have had if we had Welbeck fit as well as Lallana.
Wimps is back in training, isn't he? So he might be fit by then.
Not an attack option, is he?
No, in terms of stopping their attack, I mean. Yeah.
But I think probably they may well end up 3 or 4-0.
He's going to score now.
I think did they got Europe the week after playing us? If they have, that might be a good thing, because
they probably have, haven't they?
Yeah,
because it's all done by the new year, isn't it?
Yeah, I think there's another set of games before this tonight, and then there's another set of games
this week
before the international break, isn't there? So they probably are playing Europe before us. So that's probably a good thing for us, because that will mean they might take a few players off and like rest a few players. It's going to be a look it up.
The other thing, speaking about games, you were talking about players going down and not winning penalties. Even our old boys.
They're home to Atletico Madrid on the Wednesday after playing us, so they might actually rest a few players.
Our old boy Gyökeres, he stayed on his feet, or tried to, and eventually went over and didn't win a penalty for Coventry at the weekend. He set up a goal. He should have won a penalty. He was robbed of it. So even our old boys are doing that as well, aren't they? Speaking of old boys and going back to Norwich one more time, Matthias Norman. He's in the Norwich team, isn't he? He looked decent. He had a free kick which didn't go so well, thankfully. I was nervous about that, you know.
It took a long time, maybe. It wasn't really worth it.
Yeah. He was quite a good player.
Yeah.
But the fact that Norwich have...
There were Norwich comments about how... There were some comments about that, kind of, he's getting to our team comfortably. It's like, well, I'm not sure he would. Basuma, Moda, Lallana, McAllister, Grosh. I'm not sure he'd get anywhere near our team, to be honest. Casado, when he comes back as well.
Well, if he would have done, he would have done.
Yeah.
He was with us, and he didn't get anywhere near the team. So, yes, he may have improved since then, but so has everyone else. So, no, I won't have that at all. No chance. Well, let's wrap up this half air. We're on the bit, just to summarise, we're in the Gladstone. We've had some very moderate beers, and we've had a Lucky Spring, which is very nice. 4.25, I think we gave it on Untappd. We then had a very strong beer.
It's also merging with our beer app.
Exactly,
a beer podcast.
If Untappd wants to sponsor us, please do.
Yeah.
We then went for a nice, gentle 6.9% beer.
6.5.
6.5. Thanks to your order, Peter. Thank you for that. It's Yeasty Boys.
Something or other.
Something to do with Matthias Norman, was it? Or something like that. No, something Motors.
Yeasty Boys, Matthias Norman.
Matthias Norman Motors, was it? Something like that. And now we're now drinking...
It's a very Norwich beer.
We're now drinking...
Siren.
Hey,
it was Wizard Motor.
Wizard Motor, that was it, yeah. Yeasty Boys Wizard Motor, which
was
nice.
I'm not quite sure if that's a motor that's magic and gets you really quickly somewhere. or if it's a...
A very good car that you want to...
Or if it's something that makes like wizards go really quickly.
No, it's a car that you want to compliment in a very posh old school way. It's a Wizard Motor. Anyway, we've had that, and we've had... We're now on the Siren. And they're all good. 4.25.
I mean, the beers are always good here.
And this one, what are we giving this one? 4.25, 4.0 so far.
I think I'm going to go with 4.
I'm going to 4 as well. We're predictable, aren't we? We're agreeing with each other. This doesn't.
No, we're not.
Yes, we are. I came here for an argument. No, I didn't. Yes, I did.
Is that your normal pipe date personal podcast you're having?
I yourself. Do one on my own now. I do think that a good podcast involves a lot of contrary debate, and we just agree with each other too much, Peter, don't we? No, I don't agree with that either. Right.
You should tell me what Lumina I think we're having now.
Lumina?
Which annoying I've had already. And given 3.75, so slightly lower than that.
Oh, isn't the Siren?
Yeah, Siren. Siren's a brewery.
Okay, Lumina's the beer, isn't
yeah.
it? Okay, okay.
You, by the way, guys, you should still listen to the Brighton Rock podcast. We're just having a discussion about beers live on air.
We're going to start...
Although not live on air.
Should we start a beer podcast, Peter? I think we should.
I mean, to be honest, you're already lacking that from your different hobbies, aren't you?
Yeah.
You've got a film, you've got football. Now you're lacking is beer.
It's the three Fs.
And driving.
It's the three Fs. It's film. Film Fives podcast. Check it out, guys. It's film, it's football, and it's fucking loads of beer.
And on that note, let's end the first half.
Let's have a break. Right, podcast extra. We've just been debating the fact these podcasts go on for far too long, don't they, Peter? But we can't help ourselves. And we like to think that our listeners, well, those that have stuck with us this long, actually enjoy it. And we'd like to put a special thanks out to Duncan, who the other week said that he'd enjoyed... Well, he'd spent the evening in the bath with us, to put it bluntly, foaming himself up and whatever else he was doing. That's what it's all about, isn't it?
That's why we started the podcast.
So people can foam themselves in the bath, listening to us rambling on about.
That's why people get a FOMO for not listening.
Very nice, I like it. That wasn't bad for you, actually, I have to say.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Damn me with slight praise, full praise for faint praise.
I like to damn everyone with faint praise, yeah. I'm very good at that.
And some foam.
Yeah, exactly. Fling the bubble bath around, yeah. But that's what people want. The people want it, the people will get it. Us and our inane dribblings and Duncan's inane foamings. That's what it's all about, isn't it, Duncan? Peter, there was another thing, wasn't there, we forgot to mention. 20 clubs voted on rules to do with the new sponsorship restriction, which essentially prevents ridiculous cash numbers involved in sponsorship deals. Man City abstained. 18...
Funnily enough, because they maybe have been involved in that before.
Yes, yeah. So they felt a bit awkward.
They definitely...
Yeah.
And also the suggestion is it sounds like it's not legal anyway to,
exactly.
to stop those rules.
Yeah. 18 clubs voted in favour of the ban. Yeah. And one club, which may or may not have been Newcastle United, voted in favour of keeping the rules as they are. So that they would be able to.
Funny that.
Yeah.
It's interesting because I've given an interesting rule to see what happens, because the question is it's not legal, they can't vote against maybe. But on the other hand, if the Premier League rules, like with Man City, say that you can't do that and count it towards financial fair play, then that's the Premier League's rules. Mm. You can't say that you can't sponsor someone probably, and you can't put a value on it. But if you then say that doesn't count towards your rules because that is complete bollocks, it's not worth that, and you're basically just trying to rip off the system, then it's an interesting test case.
Mm.
And one I hope Newcastle fall fairly on their faces, but you can imagine they can probably afford a lot of lawyers, so sad or not.
And speaking of test cases, wasn't Russell Salad or Salad or whatever, as he's often mentioned, with misspellings and typos,
Salde.
Whatever else, Russell Slade, he's part of a small organisation who have apparently taken the authorities to court over the rights to footballer stats.
Yeah, I mean, I was planning on doing that. So whenever I have my one to one my manager, I'm going to like say that I'm going to sue her for like asking me about what I'm doing and my work, because that's like against like my stats and my personal.
I'm self-employed. I'm going to sue myself.
I'm going to sue you too.
Yeah, well, I would do it too. I'm a complete dick.
Everyone, all listeners, should sue Russ.
I'm riding roughshod over.
If you ever mention any podcast I've been on, I'm going to sue you.
That's a weird one, isn't it? Because that's taking it too far, surely.
It surely is.
I think the lawyers, according to Price of Football, the lawyers have said that it would be an interesting case that might be debatable or something like that, which he said was code for you've got no chance in hell.
Yeah, I don't see that getting a success. Not sure what aim for.
Do you know what, in a funny sort of way, I don't mind things like that, testing the water, just to keep things true and honest.
Yeah, maybe people probably told Bosman he had no hope in the first place as well.
True. But I mean, keeping things you know, in order. Stuff like that needs to be in there to challenge that.
And if anyone can like pull off a possible escape, then Russell Slade must be up there.
Yeah. But in case you're thinking like you've heard all this before.
He has no hair. He don't care.
We do not care. And we are on Lucky Spring again. So we've gone in a full circle. So it's time to sign out in the usual way by saying...
Stand or fall.
Up the Albion. Sports Social
Podcast Network. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.